Sentire Media.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A New Life in Italy. I'm your host, Samantha Wilson, and today we're going on a virtual tour across Italy and its many regions. If you're considering making Italy your home, you've probably imagined yourself enjoying those lazy Italian days by the seaside. Or maybe you're thinking about exploring those little volcanic islands, or maybe all the way up north to the snowy mountains in the Dolomites. But the big question always remains, where in Italy should you call home? You see, Italy isn't just a country, it's a collection of cultures and climates and opportunities. It's divided into 20 very unique regions, each of them having their own flavor and their own vibe. So whether you're looking for a very busy economic hub in the north or more something a little more relaxed and sun-soaked in the south, or maybe you just want everything in the middle, today's episode will help you decide where in Italy may be the perfect fit for you, considering your lifestyle and your budget. I'm going to be talking about what makes each region stand out, from access to job opportunities, healthcare, the infrastructure and services, and of course, that local vibe. Ready to find your dream Italian region? Let's get started. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. All right, well, welcome back. Now, deciding where to live in Italy is probably the most crucial and maybe the hardest part of planning your move to Italy. And this is because every region in Italy has something different. It's distinctive. And to ask someone where to live in Italy, sometimes it's like asking someone, you know, what is Italian food? Because depending where you are, everything changes. And I think it's what I really love about this country, the diversity of the regions. Like in Canada or even, you know, the States, the West and the East coasters are very different from each other. But Italy's a little bit different. It's more about the North and the South, and the differences are very extreme, and they're almost immediately appear when you cross the borders. Italy, as some of you may be surprised to know, is a very young country. It wasn't until 1861 that Italy actually became a republic, a country unto itself. Before then, it was just a collection of kingdoms, and they had their own rulers and their own laws and traditions and customs and, of course, their own languages. And it was because of this that we still see all of these very distinct patterns in all of the different regions across Italy. The coming together as a country, of course, has had its challenges over history. And from the 20 regions that I talked about, five of them are still autonomous. And this means that they will follow the rules of Italy, but they also have some of their own too. Now let's get the geography down first, because as I said, there's 20 regions, and inside each of these regions are provinces, and inside those are comuni or municipalities. So for example, a region is Tuscany or Lazio or Sicily. And a province is Arezzo, which is inside Tuscany, Latina, which is inside Lazio, or Messina, which is inside Sicily. And then a comune is a little town or municipality inside that province, which is inside the region. So, for example, Cortona is inside the province of Arezzo, inside the region of Tuscany. Now, some provinces and municipalities are the same, which can make it a little bit more confusing. So, for example, the province of Florence is in Tuscany, but the province of Florence also has the city of Florence. And the province of Roma also has the city of Roma. So this can be a little bit confusing to some people. And understanding where your municipality is really important when you're deciding on population size, because you might be trying to take advantage of a special tax incentive, but also helps you understand where the administration is of where you're living. Now, having said all of that, every region has its own style, its own vibe, its own brand, in a sense, if we're talking about Tuscany. And of course, has its own opportunities for foreigners. Some of these regions may be a little more rustic and less developed than others, and some may be more international, have bigger cities, and have a life that might even resemble elements of North America. But regions are large, so it's not really fair to paint an entire region with one brush, because you can find elements of each region or types of places to live in all of the regions. So the first thing to consider is, what kind of lifestyle do you want of your new life in Italy? And what kind of response from the community are you most comfortable with? So let's dive into that a little bit. Ask yourself these questions, because personality matters on where you're living here. Do you prefer order, rules, modern amenities, something that's really predictable? You can go out in the morning and pretty much know what to expect as your day unfolds. It's Italy, so there's still going to be some element of surprise. But, if you prefer this more predictable way, the northern part of Italy is probably better suited for you. However, if you're more comfortable with a little looser rules, maybe more rustic amenities, really deep-rooted and seated traditions, maybe a little more chaos and definitely less predictability, then you need to move further south. This will be a better spot for you. Now, it doesn't mean that everything in the south is chaos, but compared to the north, it can feel that way to some people. Considering that you already have to adapt to a new language and customs, so it's important to pick an environment that fits your personality better right from the beginning, because this will give you a big advantage. You're not always faced with pushing against a wall that you don't like. So now that you have the north or south mapped out in you and where really generally fits your personality, let's talk about the reason that you're moving to Italy in the first place, because this also matters. Maybe you're moving to be close to family, and if this is the case, then location is probably pretty specific. Or maybe it's to relax and get closer to your hobby or your passion. Are you coming here for work? Are you going to be retiring? Are you going to be a new digital nomad? Are you going to start a family? Is your health or your language skills something that you need to consider? What do you need or want? Will you be driving? Will you need to drive? Or will you rely on public transportation? What is your budget? Do you want to live on a tight budget, or do you have a little extra to spend and prefer the conveniences and luxuries of cities? Do you plan to travel around Italy and explore, or even go outside of Italy and go all over Europe, spend your time traveling Europe using Italy as your base? Is being close to a major airport important? How about the mountains? Do you want to be in the mountains, or are you more about the sea or the countryside? These are a lot of questions, and these are questions that you need to think about and ask yourself to better understand where your perfect place is. And this is because Italy has it all. So it can feel like, a bit of a kid in a candy store when you're trying to make a decision. And many people will choose to live where they spend most of their time on their holidays. But when you consider what you need out of your full-time life in Italy, rather than just a few weeks or months on a holiday, your decisions may change, and probably should. So let's dive into the main decision-making factors when choosing the best place to live in Italy. Let's talk about work, or your money, or job opportunities. If you need to work, and what I mean by that is you are intending to come to Italy to find a job, then you need to be closer to a city. And this is for the same reason as you would choose to be in a city in your home country. There's more jobs where there's more people. So cities like Milan and Turin and Florence, these are better cities, Rome, to find more work. However, the South right now is actively trying to find and attract talent. So you might see some new opportunities down there as well. Now, typically bigger cities are in the north and central part of Italy. So your chances will increase if you focus your attention there. If you want to work, for example, in hospitality, then you can focus more on the seaside resorts for seasonal works, or maybe the islands. However, keep in mind that hospitality work is generally not paid very well, but that's okay, because often it's more affordable to live a little bit more outside of the city than inside the city. If, on the other hand, you are a remote worker or you're self-employed, then your biggest concern will be access to good internet. And for that, the cities, of course, are also better. And internet in Italy, by the way, is generally quite good. There's fiber pretty much everywhere, except, of course, in the middle of the countryside. And sometimes it can be a trouble with some internet along the water, so closer to the sea or around the lakes. And of course, in the middle of nowhere, you'll often have to use a satellite. But generally speaking, the internet in Italy is really good. If you need super high-speed fiber, then you're going to have to do your work, of course, then you're going to have to focus on more developed areas. So now that you have your work or your job prospects in order and you know what you need in order to make your money when you're living here, let's talk about the weather, because this can have an impact on your quality of life. Now, if you come from a colder climate, hey, you Canadians out there, and you expect that moving to Italy means that you live in your shorts and your t-shirts all year long, well, then you are on the wrong side of the Mediterranean. You need to head over to Spain, because Italy, although on the Mediterranean, has very distinct seasons. In fact, the weather is almost as distinct as the regions. In the south and the islands, of course, it's warmer because you're more south. And this is, you know, wintertime highs of maybe 10 or 11 Celsius, but it can get down to about 5 at night, which is certainly not t-shirt and short wearing weather. But it also gets extremely hot, these areas, in the summertime. So, I mean, over 40 degrees Celsius, well into the hundreds. And this can be endless in the summertime, especially down in Sicily. If you're in the north and even parts of central Italy, you will see snow in the wintertime. Not a lot, not like maybe what some of you are used to, but it certainly gets cold. And in the summertime, it's super hot. Again, the cities will get muggy, will get humid, and quite uncomfortable in the summertime. Summer's long here. It starts to get hot around the end of May, and it doesn't end until now, about October. And in the summer, we often have these really violent thunderstorms, which are quite brilliant to watch, but it's the way that it's almost a snaps you out of this super hot heat wave into a cooler moment until it starts all over again. Now, you'll find the seasons are welcomed here, as we do everything here revolves around the seasons. We eat seasonally, we dress seasonally, and we celebrate based on the seasons. And remember, in August, we also get this real serious summer brain where everything closes off. And this is going to be in any region that you live in. Now, if weather is an important part of your life and an important part of your health and well-being, it's important to really consider where you're living. Now, speaking of health, let's talk about the difference between the North and the South with regards to healthcare. Healthcare quality and availability vary significantly between the North and the South. Now, the North generally provides, you know, better facilities and service and accessibility. And this is usually due to just having more money and more people in the North. So naturally, it's going to be better. And it's not that there's no doctors or no facilities in the South. There are. It's just that the main facilities and the specialists will be found central and north of Italy. So if you need a specialist for a health condition, then you have to focus on where you're living to have easier access to them. Central or northern Italy may be a better spot for you. For many foreigners, moving to a city in Italy means that they will no longer need or want a car, which is a good thing, because walking can soon become your main method of transportation. And in some situations, this is perfectly fine for most people. But for some of you who want to drive and have a foreign driver's license, you need to understand that after 12 months of living in Italy as a resident, your current license will not be valid, and you'll need to take an Italian driver's test. And then if you pass, if you're lucky to pass, because it's notoriously challenging, then you'll be another teenager again, driving around with restrictions. And this is important when you're deciding on where you're going to live, because choosing your location wisely will be important. If you are stuck in the middle of the country, it's a very long walk for a coffee in the morning once your license expires. Now, speaking of coffee in the morning, the next thing to consider is your social life, or even if you want one. Most people we help move here say that their social life is a lot better in Italy than it ever was back home. And it's mostly because there are more like-minded people here, and focus on the friends and the family. You know, it's a major part of life here. So it's only natural that you too will start to become more social, whether you like it or not. Now, however, if you don't want to be, that's perfectly fine too. Just consider your location in this mix. Again, back to your personality. If you move to a really very tiny town where everyone knows everybody and everything, and you are the one foreigner, not only that lives there, but that never goes out, never says hi, and never participates, then it's probably not going to be a very welcoming or comfortable situation for you. A city, perhaps, is a better place if you're someone who wants to keep a private lifestyle. If, on the other hand, a party is your middle name, then you'll be able to find events and celebrations pretty much everywhere. It's endless. Italians love to party. They love a festa. So if you do too, this is your place, my friend, for sure. Now, in the South, once you are accepted into the communities, and this can take a little bit of time, I promise you, your social calendar will be packed. Now, in the North, same thing happens all over Italy, but in the North, it can be a little bit more closed off. And this is really due to maybe the closeness to the German or Austrian culture, where it's a little bit more insular, not so outward and open as the Italian culture. Now, areas like Lombardy, Tuscany, and Rome also can attract a lot of expats, the big cities that fill these towns, you know, Milan, Florence, Siena, Rome, Turin. These areas are packed full of expats. And some people do think about moving to Italy and they want to be around people from their home country, and some people don't. So if you are integrating into a new culture, if your idea is to move to Italy and just try to be around as many Italian people as possible, if this is important to you, then choose a smaller village, not necessarily the main cities, because they may offer you more opportunities to engage and make new friends. Now, speaking of big cities, if you're worried about your safety, don't. Because Italy is really very safe. Actually, Europe is super safe. Most cities have really so many tourists and so much going on because people are always out and about that there's always somebody in the street. So this, you know, people around makes things really very safe. Now, of course, you need to use your common sense, but if you are thinking about the South and you're worried about the mafia, don't, because unless you decide to be part of their world, then you're never going to even notice that there's mafia or organized crime, just like you wouldn't in your home country. Now, generally speaking, of course, Italy is extremely safe everywhere that you live. Okay, let's step back for a second and do a little bit of a recap. Generally speaking, the North is best for healthcare, for the infrastructure, for work and for services. You're going to find more English speakers. It might be a little bit less open to foreigners or newcomers, a little bit more insular. It's definitely going to cost more, so you'll need more money. It's busier, and the weather is more diverse, so it's colder for sure in the winter time. But it's definitely more organized, so if your personality likes that, center to north is sort of where you want to be. Now, in the South, it is hotter, of course. It's less seasonal. So although there's four seasons, they're not quite as extreme. The people are warmer and the smaller towns are more welcoming. It may be a little less accessible. So healthcare, transportation services might be a little limited. You will find a lot less English speakers there. So you'll have to work harder at your studies for Italian. It's going to be a quieter pace of life, a little more rustic, less convenient. Obviously, your budget will go further in the South. It might also be a little more chaotic, so the rules are a little looser down there. So if this all feels more like you, then think about the South. And if you're still thinking about it, let's dig a little bit deeper. I want you to consider your lifestyle. How do you picture your days in Italy? Will you wake up and go to work? Will you explore? Will you go on an adventure? Or does spending the days in your garden seem to fill up your days, your ideas and your dreams? Because once you've chosen the North or the South, so whichever personality fits you the best, then I want you to think about the type of location you want to live. And by this, I mean the seaside, the mountains, the countryside, or a city. Regardless of which one you choose, consider that you will have to shop and do daily things, just like you do now. And I like to start by asking our clients, where is the main shopping or commercial center in the area that you like or that you're thinking about? And then look at that and work outwards from there. Now, just because you like Florence, for example, doesn't mean that you need to live in the city or in the centro, in the very center of Florence. There's many beautiful places and communities just outside the city that can give you the same quality of life at a lot less cost and a more local vibe. And they all have good transportation, so you can be in the city in no time and then go back to your quiet retreat for an evening aperitivo. If you keep falling down that rabbit hole of property searching, I want to remind you again to think about yourself and your personality when you're deciding on a place to live in Italy. You know, ask yourself, what are your hobbies? What are your passions? What really gets you out of bed in the morning? And what makes you pull the covers over your head and never want to leave? If you hate the beach in the hot weather, you will be miserable in the south. It doesn't matter what the tax incentive is. You're going to hate your life there. If you're a snowbird and you've seen enough of the white stuff in your life, then don't pick the north. You're going to be miserable there. When you focus on what you like to do in your spare time and where you're coming from and what you're hoping to go to, you will find like-minded people that are around you, that inspire you and support you. You will always have something to do. You'll have something to see and something to learn and something to experience. Because after a while, living in Italy, the honeymoon will wear off, I promise. And all you're left with is your new life in Italy. So one final tip. Italy has exceptional transportation, both with fast trains and low-cost airlines. And there's airports everywhere. So if you live in the north, if you decide that the north or center and north of Italy is more your personality, but also have these dreams of the south or vice versa, it's super affordable and very easy to just jump on a train, spend a few euros, jump on a plane, and spend a week in your dream destination. And then head back home to where your daily life fits who you are. So pick a place that makes you feel at home and fits your everyday personality, and leave the holiday spots for your next vacation. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked three listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. This is Tina. My question is it hard to convert my North American driver's license to an Italian one? And is that even possible? Or would I have to do a complete new test there in Italy?
Hi, Tina. Thanks for the question. It's a big question. People ask all the time about driving in Italy. If you have a non-exchangeable driver's license with the country, with Italy, from the country you're from, then unfortunately, no, you cannot exchange it. After 12 months of legal residency in Italy, you will have to have an Italian driver's license. And this means that you have to take a learner's test starting from scratch. It's usually all in Italian, unless you live in the north where you can also have it in French or German. But typically it's in Italian, and it's a really, really tricky test. There's some really great Facebook groups out there. I think one's called Help, I Need My Foglio Rosso, I think it is, about having to helping you study for and prepare for your learner's test. But the question also people ask a lot sneakily on the side is, what if I'm driving? I mean, what's going to happen if I get caught? Well, if you continue to drive on your foreign license after it's not valid, after 12 months of legal residency in Italy, and you get caught or you're in an accident or something happens, not only will your car be confiscated and you receive a very big ticket, if you were in an accident, for example, you won't have any insurance. So it's a very big risk to take. I suggest that you start studying for your Italian driver's test as soon as possible, because it can take many, many months to actually prepare for it before you can pass the test.
Hello, Samantha. My name is David, and I'm planning to buy a house in Italy, and I'm trying to budget. How much would be my closing costs?
Hi, David. So a big question, depends on a lot of factors. Generally speaking, your closing costs to buy a property in Italy, there's going to be transfer taxes, which are based on the cadastral value of the property, which isn't the property purchase price, but the town, like that. Think of it like your tax assessed value, property value. This is what your transfer tax will be evaluated on. If you're buying a second home, it's 9% of that taxable cadastral value. If it is your first home, it's 2%. You'll also pay notary fees. You'll pay another few little taxes, of course, tax in Italy. And you'll also pay commission, which is nowadays is about 4% of the purchase price. What we like to tell our clients is that budget about 10% of your purchase price to cover your closing costs. This is more or less what you'll need, depending, of course, on some outside factors. But if you keep that number in mind, it's easier to plan.
Hi, Samantha. This is James. And my question for you is, what is the most affordable places in Italy and what are the most expensive parts of Italy and why? Thank you. Look forward to your answer.
Hi, James. Oh, I love this question. So generally speaking, cities in Italy are more expensive than the countryside. And I think that's probably common everywhere. But in Italy, there's a definite definition between the north and the south of Italy. The most expensive areas in Italy is northern Italy, for sure, closer to Milan, all up in the north, in the mountains. All of that area is about the highest price per square meter in all of Italy. And then if you move into the central part of Italy, in the cities, in the more popular areas, Tuscany is quite expensive because it's Tuscany and it's a brand and it's a good investment in itself. But you can move right across from Tuscany to Umbria, and although it feels and looks similar, it's about 20% less. Same with Marche, you can go even further, which is across to the Adriatic side. So the more you move south from the north, the lower the prices will get. The least expensive places in Italy per square meter generally are Calabria and the south, like Puglia, Calabria, Sicily. These areas are the most affordable areas, but again, you can have pockets. Anything close to the sea is going to be more expensive than inland. So you can have pockets that are more expensive than others. And the way that Italy evaluates its property, there is a per square per meter general guideline, but it varies widely depending on the location and the finishings of the property. So if, depending on your budget, you can get those really low cost properties, you know, under 100,000, you get lots of those in the south, really impossible to find them in the north, in anywhere really that you want to probably be. There's a reason for pricing properties in Italy or for low cost homes in Italy. And this, I think, is a really good last point to mention with your question, in that I know there's a lot of advertising out there for 1 year houses and super low cost properties, and it feels really like amazing what you can get here. And it truly is. You can do way better here than you probably can in your home country. However, you get what you pay for even here in Italy. So consider that when you're looking at something that seems too good to be true. Quite often it is. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and, well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.